talk for a minute about a great teacher, coach, or mentor. So let me ask you this question. If you could have the greatest teacher, the greatest coach, the greatest mentor in any area in your life, what would you want it to be in? If somebody who's just the best teacher at something and they said, yeah, I'd do that for you, what would you want to learn? What would it be? Help me out with that.
How many options are we allowed to
have? That's right. We'll start with one. Yeah, what would you love to have? What would you love to learn?
Sculpting.
Yeah, I imagine to get, Karen often says, I can't find somebody who's going to teach me the thing that I want to learn, right? And so to imagine somebody who's just an expert at doing it and teaching it, and that we're open to you, right? What else would it be?
Truly, I'd love to be trained in theology by an expert.
Okay, theology, great. Wonderful thing to grow in. What else?
Patience,
yeah, somebody who had that. That's great. Somebody who was just a wonderful mentor in growing in patience. What else might it be?
Relationships,
fantastic. Yeah, somebody who's just extremely skilled and able to do this and can say, let me walk along with you and help you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What a challenge to say. How do we grow in strong relationships in adversity and challenge? Yeah, wonderful thing to learn. I imagine a people that I can think of and say they were wonderful at this. What if they came and taught me? Wouldn't that be amazing? Right? Lots of different things that we would love to do. Well, I just want you to imagine for a second, what would your reaction be if that person said, sure, I'll do that. I'll come. And I'll teach you that thing that you really want to learn. You know, it's soccer, and this person could come and just really coach me, right? And just spend this time. We would be thrilled, right? What a gift that would be. Well, what we're looking at today is our joy that God does do that in what matters most. It is our joy that he says, I want to be your teacher, your mentor in what matters most in life. Let's pray and ask him to speak. Father in heaven, there's so many things we would love to grow in. We'd love to become better. Father, we want to be better at living, and we want to be better at knowing what's real and what's true. We want to be better at knowing you. And Father, you say you'll do that. You'll be our coach and our mentor. So we ask that you would do that right now, that you would teach us even this morning. We thank you that you will. So we look forward to it. Through your Son, we pray. Amen. The passage this morning is Psalm 1, the title True Joy, and so Jim will be coming down with a couple of Bibles. You'll want to have this in front of you. If you get one of our Bibles, it'll have a bookmark in the right place. And just want you to know the Bible is a gift, so feel free to take it with you if that would be helpful to you. And this drawing, we will talk about more in a couple of minutes. So Psalm 1, and very simple. It's not a very long song. Let me just read through it and make some reflections as we go through it. So Psalm 1, this is a book of ancient poetry by those who were very wise. So Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. The person's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Let's just walk through it. That first word that I have in this New International Version translation, blessed. And to me, this word feels kind of like, I don't know, a sweet thing to say, or you're really blessed. Or one of the translations that I found says, maybe a better way to say this is, oh, the joy. Right? It's literally a plural blessed. This is blessednesses. I mean, this is too good to be true, right? He says, here's what's too good to be true. It's too good to be true that somebody would find the way to avoid trouble. Right? He says, how good it is to avoid all the bad places to go. Right? So when I was a kid growing up, we moved out to California, and we lived in the mountains, and the fog was so great. And we lived on near a road called Rim of the World Highway, right? Not the place you want to drive in fog that's so dense you don't know if you're on the road anymore or not, right? If you are in the rim of the world, you come to an intersection and that nice line on the side isn't there anymore, right? Normally you follow this line, and so you're just at risk. I don't know if we're going to come to the edge. I don't know because I can't see, right? The psalmist says, oh, the joy to avoid trouble, to say there is risk, there is danger. Oh, the joy of avoiding that trouble, he says, in the way of sinners and the wicked. And I want to say this a word about the wicked. It could be that it's horrible stuff, and we would all look at wickedness and say, this is like being a friend of a terrorist, right? And we say, oh, of course, that's a bad thing. But sometimes what's called wicked is just contrary to God, even if it actually seems really good, right? He says, oh, the joy of being able to tell the difference between something that is wonderfully life-giving and good and something that's just okay. Oh, the joy to know the path to take, he says. But then in verse 2, he says, here's the other part of it. This person, the delight is in the law of the Lord. This person meditates on this law day and night. And so he says, oh, the joy of living out our delight in God's revelation. So let me say a word about that word law, right? When I hear the law, what I hear is a restriction that says, you know, that road that looks like it'd be pretty fun to drive a little bit faster, it's curvy and I could get there sooner and it would be fun to go, but there's a law that says I can't, right? There's help I would like to have on an exam, but there's a law, there's a rule in this class that says, no, you can't get that help, right? The law to me feels very restrictive. It says, here are all the things you can't do. But really, what that word is God's instruction. It's what God has revealed about himself, like a wonderful mentor who says, you know, sculpting that way won't work so well, but let me show you a different way. And we say, oh, I delight in that. What good news, right? I struggle with relationships, and the mentor comes and says, well, what if you tried this? And it works, and I say, oh, the joy. Oh, the joy. And he says, oh, the joy of being someone who delights when God reveals the good way to live, the good things to do when he reveals himself. And he says, this is somebody who then meditates on it, who thinks over it, who says, how do I do this? And it says he meditates on it day and night. And in Hebrew poetry, that means all the time. He's relating God's word to everything. She is wrestling with saying, what is it that God says, and how will that help me live better here? All the joy, he says, to be in that. Verse 3 says, this is what it's like. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Oh, the joy. Oh, the joy to be like a tree that is always fruitful, that always has leaves, that's an enduring tree. Right, all the joy of this, that every place that this person goes because of God's revelation prospers, that there's goodness that comes wherever they go. All the joy, he says. In contrast, verse 4, not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Right, so we have this image of this tree, a giant tree that is always fruitful, that is always enduring. And in contrast, he says, others are like chaff that is essentially like dust. Right, in farming, they beat the wheat, and there are bits of dust that are just useless. So what you do is you throw it up in the air and hope the wind takes it away. It says that's what it's like when we don't live in God's ways, when we don't see God's revelation. Right, and so he says then these people, they don't endure. They're not this idea of not standing in the judgment. It really means this is a place of honor in society. And he says, these people won't have a place. And eventually, before God, they won't have a place, right? This contrasts with a fruitless way to live, a fading and discarded way to live. Now, let me say this. The reason the psalm is written is because this isn't always obvious. right? We can look at the world and say, well, there are some people who completely ignore God, and they seem to be doing just fine. The psalmist says, hang in there. Recognize that won't go on forever, right? They will not endure. When hard times come, they will not be there. But those who know God's revelation, oh, the joy, he says, because they will continue fruitful, healthy, and enduring. And why does all this happen, he says? For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. You say a word about that. Some translations might say, and literally it is, the Lord knows. The Lord is paying attention. The Lord is watching those who know his instruction, those he's mentoring, those who hear his word. God is watching. But the psalm says that the way of the wicked, the way of those apart from God, it's destruction. It ends. It disappears. Right? Here's why it works to get God's instruction. Because living in the knowledge of God is we're living in the knowledge of the life-giving God. Now, I'm intentionally ambiguous there. I've said this before, if you might remember. There are two ways to think about the knowledge of the life-giving God. One is we know God, right? Through his revelation, we say, oh, now I know what God is like. Now I know who God is, right? Now I know his ways in the world. Then it's important that we know God. But it's also true that we live in the knowledge of God, meaning that he knows us. And when God knows people, they have life. God is a life-giving God. And so when he reveals himself to us, he is giving life. He reveals that to us. Right? So both of these things bring life. The more we know God, the more we have life. And the more God knows us in this personal relationship, the more we have life. Right? When I look at this psalm, it's pretty clear that the psalmist is saying, how do we get true prosperity and joy? Where does that come from? Where do we find it? And he says it comes through reshaping our head, our heart, and our hands by God's revelation, by his Bible. That's where true prosperity and joy come from, because this is the way of life. God reveals to us the way of life. Right? We can't go out and find it. We can't do a scientific experiment and say, now I know the way of God. Now I know where life is. We have to be told. It has to be revealed to us. So application is to rejoice. So let me just have you imagine something for a second. I want you to imagine a relationship that's been closed off. And this is a relationship where there's nothing I can do to break through. There's a hardness, there's a distance, and there's nothing I can do. And then something happens, and it opens up, right? Something happens, and now there is a friendship where we were completely cut off. Oh, the joy. I tell you just briefly. So my dad, it's almost 8 years ago now, he had a heart issue, his aneurysm in his aorta. My recollection is the doctor told us when we were trying to decide should he have this open heart surgery, that was a risky thing. The doctor said there's a 15% chance each month that he'll die. Now, the doctor said, it's not a bad way to die, so given all things, it's like, no, right? Only a surgeon. The 15% chance each month he could die. And so we say, well, we have to do the surgery. And so thankful, what a gift that here we are almost 8 years later. And this week, his doctor says, your heart is great. It's a young heart, right? What a gift, right? Oh, the joy when there's a gift of life, right? Or to finally receive the wisdom, the direction, the counsel I need, right? Wrestling with what decision do I make? Where do I go? What am I doing? Oh, the joy when the wisdom is given. Right? The psalmist said that God reveals himself to us in a deeply personal way through the Bible, by his Spirit, to give us life. Right? Oh, the joy that God helps us know him. Right? His giving us the Bible is initiating a relationship. He says, I want you to know me. And so tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you all sorts of stories about who I am and what I'm like, because I want you to know me. Oh, the joy to have that. God initiates a relationship with us by saying, let me tell you some stories about who I am and how I want to be at work in your life. Right? Oh, the joy that God does heart surgery in me, of changing me by saying, let me do a work in your life by what I will reveal to you. I've given this to you to do heart surgery, to bring life, right? And all the joy when God uses his word to turn me as his enemy, into his loved child. Right? The gift of this book should bring us amazing joy that God would do this, that God would reveal himself for my good, for our good. So we rejoice and we want to live in the delight of this revelation. Right? Now, sometimes it's a literal delight. Right? I read the Bible and it's just like, wow, this is the coolest book. And it really is. I mean, it's just amazing. The beauty of it, the wonder of it. And what a joy to help people see that. But the reality is, sometimes it's a delight by faith. Right? Sometimes, okay, I know this is a good place to go, but right now, I'm tired. I don't really feel like doing this. There's an interesting news item going on. I get distracted by all these other things, right? And so the challenge is to say, it's a delight by faith. I know this book is life, and so I will go there, right? So this is the drawing that Karen provided for us. There's a lot of detail here, so if you run, there might be another kids program left, or we might be able to get more, but I hope what you can see here is a wonderful, aged, fruitful tree with roots going deeply down into these scrolls that reveal who God is. That's the initiation of by God for a relationship with us. To say, I want you to know who I am and how I am at work in the world. I want you to know me and that I can know you so that you will have life. It'll be a life that's fruitful and enduring. Right? So we rejoice. We live by delight in this law, this revelation of God. And we want to get to know this life-giving truth. We want to get to know God through this life-giving truth. And we want to live it because it is a way of blessedness. So I want to challenge you with one specific action step, and that is to step further into God's Word. If this is true, imagine when Karen and I were dating. It was a long-distance relationship way back before Instagram and, you know, all. It was, we called on the phone once a week because it was expensive to call. So imagine I get the letter. You know, every day we get the letter, and some days were holidays, and you wouldn't get letters, and that was really problematic, right? I hated that. Imagine the letter comes, and it's like, well, today's a little bit busy. I think I'll read it tomorrow. Oh, it doesn't make sense. I get the letter. Stop everything. I'm gonna open this up and read it, right? It's what God has done for us. He says, here is my revelation of myself to you. And so we want to read it. And so to step further into it, I would challenge you, if you're not currently regularly reading, to read a chapter, and I say, or more a day, because I'm not sure more is better. Read something, engage with it each day. And I'll just tell you two ways that you can do it. It's in the notes as well, but we have set up as a church, a text message can go out to you. You pick the hour of the day, and it has a link that says, here's something you could read today. And others of us are reading it. And so all you do is you click the link, it opens up, and you've got a couple of minutes of reading. And just to regularly do that. Another one that some people are trying out, this website, Bible Gateway, again in the notes that's in the worship folder. You can listen to the Bible in lots of languages, and you can listen to a dramatized version of it. There are different ways to engage with it. Somehow, what works for you, get that input, right? As God's letter to us, he says, I want you to know me. We need to listen, right? And then meditate, pray. He says, meditate on this day and night. So the question for me is, what part of me needs to be reshaped by what part of it? And I discover that every day, I can see there's a part of me that doesn't match what God is saying about who he is. And I need to be reshaped by it. And I've discovered that doesn't happen in 30 seconds. Right? It doesn't happen in a brief reading. I've got to think about it. I've got to think about it again and say, how does this relate? And I need to pray. Right? So we meditate, we pray. And a key part in that is conversation, verbalizing our thinking. This is where it's wonderful to be in a life group, to go to something like Bible study fellowship or other things where you say, I need to be talking with other people about what God has said. And then I need to put it into action, right? To say, okay, here's what I would do. Why? Because this is life, right? This is God's choice to reveal himself to us. True prosperity and joy, they come through reshaping our head, our heart, and our hands by what God has said, which is the way of life. God says, I want you to know me. And so I've given you a story. I've given you history. I've given you my word. I want you to know me. And I want to know you as you engage with it. Thanks be to God. All the joy. Oh, the joy to have a God who has chosen to reveal himself to us, not just in history, but in today. And he invites us to that rich relationship with him. Give you a moment to listen, to continue to listen to him as we pray. Father in heaven, oh, the joy that you have given yourself through your word, that we can know you by your spirit, to have life in you. Father, please continue to speak in our hearts. Father in heaven, we rejoice that you have revealed yourself to us, that you teach us how to know you. You reveal yourself by telling us how you worked with people in history, as you teach us. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would do your good work through it by the power of your Holy Spirit. To help us to know your truth and to help us to know you. And in an amazing way, that you would know us more richly as your children. We thank you, Father, for this amazing gift to us. Help us to live out this delight in your ways, in your words, as you've made them known to us. We thank you that your word tells us of your Son, Jesus Christ, and because of him, we can have life in his name. Thank you for your perfect word. Through him we pray. Amen.